Kathleen could beat the band. One with a lot of sugar, which metabolizes very fast.
Oh, God.
And it's being sold in same places where, yeah.
Okay, let's begin. Welcome, everyone. I was noting this morning when I heard a report on the radio about utility rates. Everybody seems to compare Westchester County unfavorably to Connecticut. But I was hearing this morning that Connecticut has the highest utility rates in the country. While Westchester County, on the other hand, while we have high utility rates, I think compares favorably, and I think one of the reasons is because of this this organization, this entity that people refer to affectionately as CalPUSA. And some people
name.
Will say...
It is a very unfortunate
It's an unfortunate name, but we're going to get an explanation today of what it is, what the acronym stands for, and why it's been so important to Westchester County. So I'm going to ask... And we'll be... And why it's been so important to Westchester County, and why many of us believe that it has a very important place in the future of Westchester County. So if we could ask everyone to identify themselves, why don't we start at this end of the table? Okay, and you're on the board of? Okay. Just for the record, please.
I'm Bob Palladino. I'm a commissioner in the County of Westchester Public Utility Services Agency, which is what CalPUSA stands for. I've been there since 2003.
I'm Gerard Capelizzi. I'm the vice chair of the Public Utility Service Agency. I've been on the board as a commissioner, vice chair for probably more than a decade.
Thomas Geiger. I'm a commissioner of CalPUSA and the chairman. I've been here, I think, 6-7 years.
Okay, I'll try to, you know, if we'll follow along, we'll start.
Identify yourself.
Start class. I'm former executive director of CalPUSA, now a consultant to CalPUSA. If we follow along, there's two documents in front of you.
Do we have just one more? Who else do we have in the audience? Do we have anybody?
In the audience? No. Melissa Martini from the Department of Law.
Okay. We should point out Melissa. Melissa has taken over a couple of the political type of cases that are pending, the Champlain-Hudson case, which we'll discuss in a minute, and the Entergy Clean Water Act case in front of the New York State DEC.
Okay. Anybody else do we have here that we don't? We have staff. We have two staff from the Board of Legislators. Okay. Everybody else is Board of Legislators there. Okay.
If we can start with the document, and I'll try to do all this in 15 minutes or less. So please bear with me. I'm going to move quickly. If you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. The first one starts off on, it says Chapter 875 of the laws of Westchester County. This just gives you some sections and tells you very quickly. CalPUSA was established by referendum in 1982. It's supposed to, authorizes the county not only to establish the agency, but to instruct, lease, purchase, own, acquire, use, or operate Public Utility Service Agency. It's supposed to enable the county to contract or otherwise purchase or acquire lower cost electricity, both for the county and for the general public. It has seven commissioners. They're all appointed by the county executive with the confirmation of the Board of Legislators. Three of them are from a list that's provided by the chairman of the Board of Legislators. The list is supposed to have at least four, but not more than six individuals for which the county executive would make his choice. And the chair is selected by the members of the board.
No.
The board of CalPUSA.
The chairman's appointed by the county executive.
I'm sorry, this is what happens when you rush. Okay, we talked about the...
It's been so long, it's been a change, he forgot.
Well, one of your members was the prior chair.
Right, Marty Rogowski, who's unable to be here today.
So we've talked about the general powers. Specific powers is to authorize the contract for otherwise purchase or acquire low-cost hydroelectric or other power. Authority to negotiate with Con Edison or other utilities for the appropriate distribution in the county, negotiate with them to have contracts, both for the distribution of NYPA power, which is provided to the county, and the 130 three other municipal entities in the county, and we also have an agreement with them to distribute the low-cost power programs, which are, we administer one, and the other two are administered through NYPA. Calpusa can recommend to the Board of Legislature the purchase or construction of facilities, but they certainly cannot authorize condemnation. We had at one time looked into the possibility of condemning the Con Edison line, but the risk in that was too great because you condemn it first and then you find out how much you have to pay. But that had been looked at. The board of Calpusa has the authority to appoint an executive director who has certain authorities. You can initiate, the board can initiate and prosecute all inquiries, investigations, do studies relating to that. All monies of the agency is managed by the agency, used for the purposes of the agency in accordance with sound financial procedures. We have an annual audit that we have done by an outside auditing firm. And upon termination of the existence of the agency, all rights and properties pass to the county, but the agency cannot be terminated without an affirmative two-thirds vote of all members of the Board of Legislators. The goal, very simply, is to acquire lower-cost power for the county, ratepayers in the Con Edison service territory, and benefits for businesses in Westchester. So I basically have three columns here, and what I'm going to do is basically go down the columns, and then we'll come back to each one. The county is a municipal entity. We negotiate an agreement with NYPA for power for the county and 103 other municipal entities. We include assistance with energy efficiency projects. There are a number of projects that have been done in the county where we've worked with NYPA. NYPA has either funded it and we pay it back through the savings. We've contracted with NYPA. They're able to contract without having to go through the WICS procedure, without having to go to the normal competitive bidding we do, because they're allowed to use pre-selection. We're able to negotiate lower rates due to special circumstances. We get a cost of service study each year. As I said, if you have questions, I am going fast, you can ask me. But basically, NYPA provides to us what they expect the cost of electricity will be to the county and the other municipal entities. Even though each of the municipal entities enter into their own contract directly with NYPA, we basically, as the largest entity, and have the resources, we're the ones who negotiate the contracts with NYPA. The last contract was negotiated in 2007. Mm-hmm. We provide information to the budget and the departments.
Yeah.
I'll step in for one moment. On the issue of negotiating rates, and Stu has more of the specifics, but the last time NYPA came in with a three-year plan for the county and the municipal ratepayers' rates, I think it provided for 37-39% increase, and we were successful in negotiating that down to around a, what was it, a 16 or 17% increase? 19. So almost, we cut the increase that Michael was looking for in half, and that's just an example of an overall problem, which is the county and its ratepayers being a small, maybe 10% share of the Con Ed system. Con Ed, to a lesser extent, New York City, and NYPA are constantly trying to allocate electric costs to the county and its ratepayers that legitimately should be paid by NYPA and its other ratepayers, or New York City and its ratepayers. And one of the largest functions of Calpusa over many years has been as a watchdog to prevent that from happening. And we have successfully been able to do that to the tune of, and this is not an exaggeration, over the last 5 years, hundreds of millions of dollars that are in the county and its ratepayers' pockets as opposed to the citizens of New York City or other entities served by NYPA. So it's an important function because we're viewed as kind of a deep pocket with the smallest influence and therefore an entity that they can dump costs on.
And when we get to the next set of documents, which is the our accomplishments the last few years, we'll be able to give you some more details. But we work very closely with the departments and with the budget, both on the cost for electricity, so that they're able to see what the NYPA projected cost would be, what we expect the is happening in the marketplace, and the same thing with natural gas. With natural gas, in the years past, we've also helped them with the contracts. We have an option of either going with Con Edison and bidding it ourselves or going through the state. We've done all three currently. We're part of a state bid that's gone out on natural gas. We work, as I say, very closely with the various departments on that. We review hedging options. About 2 years ago, we were thinking, should the county hedge its own electric purchases? NYPA came in with some figures. They went out for cost for hedging. After doing a detailed review in-house, they were recommending that we hedge. New York City went along with the hedge. We looked at it and we decided that the cost to the hedge, even though it would give us some budget certainty, we just felt that it was not worth the cost. And we didn't do that in a vacuum. We worked, again, closely with budget and with our outside consultants. And the end result, it's turned out that was the right decision. We can't always guarantee the right decisions, but that one certainly has been saving us money this year. We're involved in NYPA rate redesign, and this is very important to the county. There's a couple of $1 million a year at stake, and this is a follow-up to what the chairman has been saying, where we have to be in the dogfight. Very simply, NYPA on their delivery rates, they get billed by Con Edison, they bill us for delivery. They are basically supposed to be a pass-through on that, and they're supposed to be covering all of their overhead through the commodity costs. There are basically two components. It's the electrons that you're purchasing, the electricity, that's the commodity. The delivery is the wires that are delivering into your house. That we have been complaining that there was a problem with the rates, because we've looked at certain rates that Con Edison says, we looked at their tariff, we felt they were off. I got into our contract when we did it in 2007, a provision that those rates should be the same and that they have an obligation. Well, it turns out they've been overbilling most of their customers, but the MTA and one New York City entity, Department of Environmental Protection, have been underbilled. So we're now fighting with them. They understand it. They agreed to make an adjustment going forward, but of course the MTA can't take the big hit. They'd be facing like $37 million a year increase. So there has been discussion about trying to mitigate it over time, but our position is if you can mitigate, and that's standard in the industry, so you avoid rate shock, is that we pay the same proportionate over what we should be paying as every other entity. New York City is saying, oh no, we're just going to reduce everybody's overpayment by the same percentage each year. Well, if we're paying three times as much in an overpayment as everybody else is, and we continue that way, we're going to be hurt. So I'm working with our consultant. I'm doing some of the legal stuff, dealing with the issues of, you know.
Can you explain that again one more time?
Okay. Let me use an example. If we're supposed to pay $10, and we're paying $12, and somebody who's paying $40 is paying $42, we're paying 2% over what we should be paying. 20%, and they're paying one quarter of that. They're paying 5% over. Our argument is, going forward, if you have to phase it out, if it turns out the app, in order to get that money, everybody should be paying 1.5%, or everybody should be paying 8%, then going forward, we should be charged 8% over, and New York City should be charged 8% over, and it should go forward that way. Not that you'll reduce our 20% by 5%, you know, in the first year, and you're going to reduce their 5% by 5%, because we're still going to be paying a much larger.
It'll take forever for us to recoup what
well,
the monies that they're supposed to give.
They're talking about doing it over 5 or 7 years, but during that time period, we're paying way, way over what we should be. So it's, you know, it's...
They're going to continue the damage while...
Right, at a disproportionate rate. So, I mean, this is not unusual. The county has gone in and fought before against New York City and the other entities, and that's what we're in the midst of. New York City sent a very strong letter a few days ago. Now we should continue with the current. But we're dealing with that.
There's been no public discussion of this issue, has there?
We look, they were willing to admit they made a mistake. They want to be kept whole. There's $9.5 million that they say they're collecting more than they should be collecting. So they're willing to give that $9.5 million back right away. But the other part, the difference on that $37 million, they want to phase out so they don't hurt the MTA.
Are these public proceedings?
No, this is private, and you don't want to make
private negotiation.
It's meetings with all the parties. You have to realize we're dealing with a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of technical material, and it's not to our advantage to embarrass NYPA at this point when they are willing to make the change. They're not fighting us on the change. It's just procedurally, how are they going to do it? And their answer to me is, we know, Sue, as long as you're going to be a pain in the ass, excuse me, that we're going to have to take West Justice's position into consideration.
But they're all willing to pay back $9.5 million?
Well, they're willing to. That's a year. And that's not just to us. That's to all the customers.
How long do you believe that they've been overcharging us?
It's developed over a long period of time because of the situation that whenever Con Edison gave a rate increase, we used to have that the rate classes in Con Edison matched fairly closely the rate classes in NYPA. But over the years, those classes have changed for both of them. And when NYPA got a rate increase, instead of dividing it up among all of the different groups based on the same proportion that Con Ed did, they just did it as a whole number right across the board. So if they got a 14% increase and a street light should have gone up 4% and something else should have gone up 16%, they just raised everything.
Have you been able to quantify, though, how much money you think we're entitled to?
Yeah, I have some rough figures, but I really don't want to discuss.
We're talking several million, though.
Oh, yeah, I can. What we're talking at stake as far as our overpayment right now, just give me 1 second.
This is Westchester overpayment.
There's Westchester and Westchester, the other 103 municipalities.
Within
we figure it's.
Within Westchester.
Eventually. I mean, this is over if it was over a 7-year period, they're projecting, let me just go back 1 second. It's probably for Westchester entities, maybe $2 million, and, you know, to $4 million, and the county probably $1 to $2 million a year.
And it's
a year?
Actually, the last year would be, well, it's a smaller amount. Yeah, it's about $2 million for the county, or $1.5 million, and about a little over $2 million for the rest of the.
So you're talking $3 million to $4 million to county ratepayers,
right,
and county taxpayers.
But again,
for how many years? Well, that's negotiable.
Well, this will be once we get it changed, it'll change it permanently.
But going back,
they have to phase out.
But going back,
they put away. They've only, you have to realize, they turn over their money to the state, so they. Only when they identified this about a year and a half ago, that they started to put away money in a separate fund. There was money sitting there, and we also have to talk about how that will be allocated. But again, these figures keep changing because they, based on how they do their cost of service, how they look at, they have an outside firm. I've gotten three versions so far, and we're looking at it too.
But is that $3 or $4 million a year, every year going forward?
If when we eventually are fully changed, it would mean for the county and all of our municipal entities. It could mean up.
Right, but it could also mean more if they increase their rates and they use the same formulas that they're using.
It wouldn't do that. This is just the overage piece. Now, at the same time, they realized they were undercharging us on production. They were undercharging the county and some of our municipalities less on production. They wanted to phase in the production increase in January and start to phase out the delivery decrease in April.
Right.
And I said, wait, the net number is going to be a savings to the county. So why are you selectively putting one in, which is the increase to us, and putting the decrease? Now, they had a reason for it. It has to do with timing, but I raised that with them, and they've now agreed that they will do both at the same time. So we won't get a temporary increase and then get a decrease later on. So that we've already succeeded doing in the last 2 months. So let me keep going in them because there's a lot to cover. Maybe easier just for me. Why don't we skip, because so I don't have to do this twice, why don't we skip to the accomplishments? It may be a little easier. Because what I've done is, for the most part, I've repeated some of the lighter text, the things that we do, and then some of our accomplishments that we've done. We got some money for a solar grant.
Let's just, before you do that, okay. Let us just make it clear that the functions of CalPUSA are threefold, as you've been operating, right? Divided them here. Let's cut them into three first, then go into the individual part.
You're aware now.
On page three of his document, page two of his document. Page two of the first document, you'll see three columns.
Right.
So we've discussed the county as a municipal entity.
Right.
We've discussed what you've done on behalf of the county residences and businesses and NYPA customers in the county. And what is this last one?
That's CalPUSA's customers.
Okay.
CalPUSA has...
Just describe that for us, because we haven't touched that yet,
okay.
Right? Let's just deal with the three aspects of CalPUSA's operations,
the
and then go to the accomplishments.
And then we'll go into the details.
Right.
We talked about the county as a municipality. Residents and businesses in the county, the main thing we do is represent the county in the rate proceedings in front of the public service. There are other proceedings that we're involved in, but we mainly, that's the big thing. We used to have a proceeding every 2 to 3 years. The last 3 years, we were having a rate case for electric, gas, and steam almost every year.
Is there one pending now?
No, we just finished all three of them. We will have a hiatus. The only thing that is ongoing is sometimes you cannot accomplish and deal with every issue in the steam, gas, and electric case, so they create what we call collaboratives. And those continue past it. It will impact rates. It may be dealing with distributed generation. It may be dealing with standby rates. There are different issues. Some will affect the county. Some will not. But
then
those things are continuing.
And then the third aspect of your...
Is we have municipal distribution agency customers. There are three programs that are administered that involve NYPA and the county. Two of them are the Powers for Jobs and the Economic Development Program. Those, we have businesses in the county that receive lower-cost power from NYPA. We also have customers that are called Municipal Distribution Agency power customers that the county purchases power from NYPA for, sells it to these customers, and we also arrange, we're responsible for collecting from them. We also arrange for the delivery. So as soon as we get the bills from Con Edison for delivery and NYPA for the power, we pay for that, and then we bill our customers, and we collect it.
That's so in addition to being an advocate, and in addition to being a representative, you're also actually an administrator of certain programs.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we get paid for that?
We get a 5% administrative fee. That covers a couple of things. One, it gives us the float to be able to pay the bills before we collect from our customers. Most of our customers are very good in paying. We have one or two that I call on a monthly basis or more. It gives us, as I say, the float. It also provides funds. You've used some of these funds in the past, or at least the administration has, for certain studies. I think part of this was used to fund one of the Indian Point studies.
Mm-hmm.
We did unfortunately have a loss when Fortunoff went bankrupt. We took about a $100,000 loss, and we covered it. We didn't have to come back to the board or to the county for money for that. And so that's how we handled
it. So you're an operating entity, basically.
Yes, and it does cover our expenses. I mean, we pay for our annual audit.
Okay.
We pay for certain services from the finance department.
Okay, why don't you go into the...
Before we leave that topic, sure. It should be noted that the Albany has threatened over the last few years to end that program, but they've kept extending it on a yearly basis, so it's extended through the end of May, I believe, 2011, but depending on what Albany does, that function could end at that time, or it could be extended again.
Now, do you have specific contracts with, you said, like seven or eight entities?
Yes, we have contracts. Actually, we're going, because the program has been extended on a year-by-year basis, we have not really been, we've been working with NIPA where they've extended it automatically. The Board of A&C will be seeing shortly all of those contracts coming back.
And who does that? Who does this work?
Drafting of the contract?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be doing it.
Okay. And who does the, who keeps track of the bookkeeping and all of this stuff? Is that you?
For the billing aspects, that's kept track of in finance for us. And I and Tom get a monthly update on who owes.
And the county makes money, in effect, by doing this.
Yeah. Capusa has no employees except you, right? Now as a consultant.
Yeah. Well, we have
no employees here.
And we pay the finance department on a yearly basis.
There's a charge back, yeah.
There's a charge back for that function they're providing.
Okay. I'd like to get into the budget, but we can do that later. Why don't we talk a little bit about the accomplishments?
Let's just talk about some of the accomplishments. Okay. As I say, very quickly with the county as a municipality, we acquired a solar grant from NIPA that helped pay partly for the panels that are out here. We have an umbrella agreement and a standard agreement for various energy efficiency projects. You've seen them. We have an umbrella agreement with NIPA that's been approved by the VAC if a project goes forward, but then we do a separate agreement with them. I've worked out the details of those agreements in the past. Now most of those agreements are handled by DPW or the applicable department and the law department. There's no need for me to be involved unless there was an issue that came up. If you turn to page two, one thing you should be aware of, and we were talking about why we got that big 20% increase that, you know, that came out one year. We discovered an issue, I won't go into the details of the issue, of something that NIPA had done in an unrelated matter. And we were able to use that to convince NIPA to freeze the electric rates for the county and for the 103 municipal entities for 4 years. So for 4 years, while other entity, New York City, was getting rate increases, we received no rate increase. In addition, we received from them, we procured from them a $300,000 credit for each of the 4 years for the county, so that's $1.2 million. And we required that they provide the same $300,000 to be divided up equitably among the rest of the 103 municipal entities. So the end result, between freezing the rates and getting that credit, we saved approximately $2.5 million for the county over those 4 years. And we saved the equivalent amount for all of the other municipal entities. The only thing is when the fifth year came about, they all were screaming, and our own people budgeted first, were saying, how come we got a large increase this year? Well, the reason you got a large increase is that the first 4 years you had a zero increase, and you still ended up with this saving. They didn't collect back or increase us.
So you're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million savings for Westchester County.
Yes.
People in general.
Yeah, I think it covered my salary for a few years. But,
right.
So that's it. We review the cost of service study. We tell you that has resulted in savings. And we provide, as I say, information to budget.
Okay.
We also, and I talked about that. I talked about the hedging that we've done. I talked about the NIPA rate redesign and what we're doing. We also review the bills for glaring errors. We discovered, after looking at our bills, that they were overcharging us for street lights and for traffic control devices. So we were able to get them to reduce our annual bill by $150,000, and that savings is going on. They did that effective as of 2008, the end of 2008.
Where are you on this chart now?
I'm on page three.
Bills.
I'm on page 3, review bills for glaring issues.
Okay.
So we got them to reduce our bill by $150,000 a year. I got a refund check last year of $110,000 for the traffic control devices, and I acquired...
I want to move us quickly. I'd like you to get to the next column, because I think there's some interesting stuff in there.
Okay.
When you're talking about the second function where you are representing the residents and businesses in Westchester.
Okay. Well, the big thing is we're at the rate cases. We had, and I think a lot of you are familiar with the MAC case. Basically, when they went to deregulation, they had promised everybody that they would see their rates go down. Well, the end result was if they had charged us and what was going to happen under deregulation, we were going to pay the commodity cost that we should for our area, and we continue to pay the same delivery cost as New York City. It costs more to produce and provide electricity in New York City than it does in Westchester. Well, it turned out that when they did the math, they realized if they went ahead and did that, instead of New York City residents getting a decrease, they would get an increase. So what they did is they said, whatever you're saving per kilowatt hour in energy over New York City, we're going to charge you that much more per kilowatt hour for delivery. No basis for it. They were just going to do it to create some rate relief. Now, if they had said they were going to phase it out over a couple of years, for rate impact, it would be...
Basically, you challenged the formula that they were going to use.
It took 5 years.
And the result was $100 million to $180 million a year?
A year, yes. That's how much they were overcharging.
15% of average citizens don't.
Wow. We were getting hit so hard. I mean, it was getting ridiculous. And it was through the MAC. It wasn't all the delivery, but they were adding it on to the MAC charge. And what was happening is there were certain months where we were being charged for the MAC charge, and New York City wasn't a charge for the MAC, but they were getting a credit. And since at that time the differential.
So without your you guys, mm-hmm. the people of Westchester County who are complaining about their Con Edison rates would be paying $100 to almost $200 million more a year.
Currently, we're saving, I haven't looked recently, the last time I looked was about a year ago, and we were saving about $100 million a year because of the differential. So we're still saving. This wasn't a one-time thing. It was phased in when they finally did it, but once it was fully phased in, we're saving about $100 million a year.
Now, what is the steam case that we're talking about?
Steam case, there is a steam system in New York City. That steam system provides steam only to certain built facilities in lower Manhattan. Some of the facilities were joint steam and electric. So in order to keep steam rates low or lower, they were trying to push as much as they could of those rates to the electric system. Now we're 12.5% of the Con Edison service territory, meaning our general businesses and residents. So we were picking up about 12.5% of that. So we had, over the years, fought that certain facilities shouldn't be charged to...
Basically an allocation of the costs. And once again, from New York City's point of view, it didn't matter because they were going to pay either way.
They came out ahead because they're the largest steam customer of the Con Edison system.
Right.
So even though they were being charged a little more under electric, they were saving.
That's what I said. So from New York City's point of view, it doesn't matter because they're going to pay either way. But for those of us who don't get the benefit of the steam, we should not be paying for it.
Even though they were paying either way, they were saving more in steam than they were paying in electric because we're helping subsidize it. So we were fighting on that. We did get certain facilities off the dole there. And then we ended up with a new facility called the East River Repowering Plant. And we complained because of the allocation to the county. What was particularly glaring was the fact that the cost, they were basically, it produces electric and steam. They were giving the steam to the steam system for free. Basically free. There is, if they have to reheat it to get a little extra out of it, they were paying for that part of the natural gas. But the basic production was all being charged to electric. And what we proved, we had to go through 3 cases to do this, but what we basically proved all the time is that the cost of the natural gas that you were charging to the electric system, forgetting capital costs and everything else, exceeded the value of the electricity you were producing. that didn't make sense. You know,
so it was another subsidy by Westchester
right.
County of the entire system, which then benefited New York City.
Right. So they basically what they've done is for the first, we were in the new rate case, the first 3 years, year two and three, they're going
to... I'm going to stay away from the details.
Okay.
The bottom line is another $30 million over 10 years.
Yeah.
That okay.
But these aren't fights that take, you know, 6 months.
They require a lot of expertise and a long...
And the Public Service Commission says, you know, there's a rate case, and at the end of the rate case, they list everything, and they say, we'll think about that, but for right now, we're going to continue the subsidy. And then in the second rate case, well, you know, we hear you, maybe you're right, we'll study that closely, but they continue the subsidy. And it's only at the third rate case that they finally say, you're right, we'll do something about it. So that's the nature of the Public Service Commission. It doesn't happen immediately.
And you have to... Yeah.
Mr. Harcum has a question.
Thanks, if I may, Mr. Chair. And this may take the conversation and propel it forward a little bit. Thank you all very much for coming in. This was this is very helpful, and thank you, Mr. Chair. And the reason this all happened was in such an expedited way is Stu's retirement. And when he told us of this, as you know, Martin Rogowski has a great interest in your activities, as does the chair.
Well, you started this whole thing.
As do all of us.
We've kind of reversed roles in the last
you know, when
so
you're talking
about
these cases lasting, in some cases, years and years and years, and Stu changing his status, and obviously the staff is a big component of it. It's not all of it. I'm not trying to shortchange the work all of you do on the board, and we thank you for that. But I guess what I'm asking is how are you positioned to go forward, and what is your strategy to go forward in light of the fact that these things take so long and we're losing our full-time staff person?
Well, we're hoping that that Stu will continue on in a consulting role so that the institutional knowledge and expertise that he has, one, won't be lost, and if Stu is not able to continue, it'll be transitioned to other people. So that's the hope.
Well, let me understand something here. The way I read this charter, the board itself has the right to hire an executive director.
Correct.
Have you exercised that power in the past?
Yes.
And what has changed now?
What has changed now is it's very hard to find somebody who has the qualifications to act as executive director.
Well, just because he's retired doesn't mean that you can't rehire him, correct?
Yeah, but the problem is that he can't be paid more than $30,000 a year. So it's difficult to hire him.
And why is that? I'm sorry.
Because he's retired. Under the pension.
Oh, okay.
So that creates an issue.
Well, is it possible for you to be a little bit more imaginative and hire somebody with less expertise and keep him on as the consultant to guide the other person?
That would be possible.
I mean, my reading of this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that this is a discretion within the discretion of your board.
The executive director, that's correct, yeah.
Right. And even the consultant.
Yes.
But there are budget issues. You know, which budgets it's coming out of, who's controlling the budget.
Okay, well what is the revenue? I mean, we don't have the benefit of having a budget in front of us. What is the revenue of CalPUSA and the revenue stream, and what is the expenses?
The excess is what, about $50,000 a year?
Excess in which direction?
Positive. Excess.
So you put back into the county about $50,000 a year?
It depends on the allocation of the expenses and the consultants.
Put it into our own fund.
In other words, the CalPUSA does not have the sufficient excess revenues to pay for all the consultants an executive director that it uses on a yearly basis. So a portion of that goes into the miscellaneous budget and is paid out of that budget. If CalPUSA had to fund everything, it probably could not.
Right.
Have you done an analysis of what you could afford by yourself?
Well, if you look at just...
In other words, if you were to take your fixed costs and not talk about your consultants, could you hire an executive director and a consultant on an annual basis?
Probably not.
Well, how much are your consultant fees every year?
It varies. The consultants we have, right now we presently have three consultants besides myself. And those have been paid recently out of the miscellaneous.
Are they still working?
One of them definitely is working because he's working on the NYPA rate redesign. One of the consultants is under contract to us, but just so we have him available. And the other consultant, we have not gotten authority to put him through the BAC.
Because it seems to me we're saving, you know, $100 million, the cost of a consultant or an executive director does not sound like it's a big cost compared to the savings to the county.
Well, let's put it this way. The miscellaneous budget that we had, which we didn't expend all of it, was about $550,000. You're normally charged by... The biggest expense is the executive director's salary and overhead.
And how much was that?
They had projected it 198, but it wasn't that high. It was not that high. They estimated high with some increases, which never took place. But that would be the high.
So you're talking $200,000 allocation for an office budget, for an executive director.
You have your travel, you have your, which is, $2,000 a year. You have your... IT back charges, things like that come each year from the other departments. But it was not a tremendous...
And amount. What's the revenue stream?
Well, the revenue stream, again, you're going to the CalPUSA, part of it, the MDA. That revenue stream could be $158,000, it could be $121,000, but it's going down because we've lost customers and we haven't been able to replace them. The only thing we've been able to be creative is if a business was leaving the area and somebody else was buying their interest, we've been able to convince NYPA that falls close enough within the constraints that we could transfer that power out.
So we have some economic development tools here that we're not using.
No, we're using them.
But what you're saying, you haven't been able to replace the customers.
Legally, we haven't been.
Legally, the state legislation does not allow us to replace a customer that leaves. We're not using our full power allocation.
Why is that?
That's just the way they've been doing it the last few years.
The real reason is because we're using cheap power. Upstate wants the cheap power. This entity wants the cheap power. So they're saying, okay, you can continue to serve your existing customers, but when a customer goes away, you can't replace that customer.
It's an upstate-downstate fight. The power was originally provided from an upstate nuclear power plant owned by the NYPA, which was Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And once that plant was sold, they had to find another source for the cheaper power.
Now, have we tried to amend this law, if I remember correctly? Well, we had some discussions about this.
We have been involved in the fights every year. The governor this year threatened that he was not going to do an extension, that if they didn't adopt his version of the law, which would have created a new program, centrally administered, which means we wouldn't have had the income stream anymore, but the advantage for the businesses is we could add new businesses and they could get a guarantee of like a 7-year program, not a year-to-year. You can't plan a business that way. And we've been strong advocates for a longer-term commitment and for a dedicated revenue source, not the state budget. So we have been active in that fight. I won't tell you how many different versions of the bills that have been out there, including a number of versions that give it all to upstate New York.
Are there any other municipal entities in the county that do not get NYPA power?
I have a list of them all. I haven't done a comparison. Most likely any entity that is served by NYSIG does not get that NYPA
power. Okay, but what about like school districts? And
we have school I can share with you a whole list of people. School districts, municipalities.
School districts are getting it now?
Yes.
I'm just trying to see if there's anybody out there.
Fire districts, a whole list of them.
But it's all through our efforts.
Yeah, they enter into their own contract, but they don't have the expertise or the ability.
So if CalPUSA were to go away or become diminished because it no longer has the expertise and the staff who's going to push its agenda, what happens to all of this stuff?
They'll get ameliorated over time in all likelihood.
NYPA will offer them a contract, But it'll be a take it or leave it contract, and if there's an issue between, a dispute between New York City based entity and a Westchester entity, you know which way it's going to go.
Right. So and so you're going to end up with little villages and school districts negotiating directly without representation with NYPA.
Yeah, they none of them are in at the rate redesign meeting. It's myself, it's the MTA, you know, and I'm our consultant, it's the MTA, it's New York City, New York City's DEP. You know, there's a whole list of people, but they're all New York City based.
So if your expertise goes away, and this is directed to Mr. Geiger, then we could be challenging Connecticut for its reputation of having the highest rates in the region.
Theoretically.
I'd like to talk about the streetlights situation.
Okay.
I discovered when I was a town supervisor 15, 18 years ago that we had no idea what the bill for street lighting meant. We just paid. We didn't pay per light. We didn't pay by consumption. If we changed the bulbs, it didn't make any difference. If the bulbs burn out, there was no reduction. So I asked around, and I said, how is this? And they said, don't bother your little head about this. You'll never know.
Okay. I'll try to give you the
short. Has that changed?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very simply, that is not based, there's no meter on your streetlights.
That's great.
What it is, very simply, is it's based on the wattage of the bulbs. It's based each month on an estimate of usage for that month, which is in the tariff. It's a set figure based on, you know, amount of daylight. Or nighttime, as his case is, and then it's based on the rate for the bulb minus a 5% outage. They assume 5% of your bulbs are out, so you're not paying for that electricity. As part of our whole discussion with NYPA about the fact that they were overcharging us for streetlights, I mean, with Con Edison, because Con Edison was there when we removed the streetlights, but they left the streetlights on the register. We sent faxes to Con Edison when we changed our traffic control devices to LEDs. They were still billing us on the old bulbs. So we provided all that information to them, and we fought with them. Part of that outcome is that Con Edison has now created an online place where we put in the information on our streetlights, and they base their billing off it. But it's not just us. The rest of the municipalities that have streetlights now participate, and Con Edison invited those districts to show up. I will tell you, the major, and not all of the major cities, but some of the major cities came to the briefing on that, but not all of them did.
And did this program lead to a reduction in the cost of the municipalities?
I don't know for the other municipalities. I don't review all of their bills.
Mm-hmm.
it would be an onerous task with 103 municipal entities.
But
to your point, because I'm a little familiar with it, because 2 years ago I started the town of Eastchester on a utility audit. We just got $188,000 back from Con Ed. We're getting $188,000.
And that represented what?
Overcharges for streetlights are very, very common.
For how many years back? Just out of curiosity. So if I raise that with my towns and villages, that might
yes,
be something.
Yes, and we did it for, which leads me to a question, man.
Sure.
We had an outside, obviously we outsourced it to, and I can't remember the name, Computel.
There's hundreds of them.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Telephone people used to do that.
And they get 30% of what, you know, whatever benefit you may reap from the utility company. So to that point, you had mentioned that you do utility audits. Do you charge the municipalities?
I did that while I was with the county. As a county employee.
So this is a service to the municipalities that we're performing without charging them.
There's a revenue stream here.
For them, but once we got ours corrected, there was now a place that they could go look and say, hey, we have a problem. And some of the ones that did show up, we told them what we did, and they were supposed to go back to Con Ed. We are now, if I have time before my contract ends, I'm going to be fighting NYPA on that issue also, because we only got the delivery refund. We didn't get the commodity refund from NYPA. They've already put up some resistance about it.
So it sounds like we've spent several years developing expertise and developing a repository for information and a strong advocacy organization. And unless we rise to the occasion and work something out here, we're going to just be losing all of this. Is that a fair assessment of the Mr. Geiger?
It's possible. I don't know what the plans of the administration are. I've conveyed that fear, and I assume they've listened, and I'm hopeful that that won't occur, but one never knows.
Well, I don't understand. It seems to me that it's the obligation of your board, or at least I would hope it would. You would take it as an obligation of your board to come forward with a plan. You have the authority to make the appointments. And I think this board would be interested in hearing from you after you've had a chance to think about it and discuss it, what you would propose. How would you deal with this issue? Because it sounds to me like you're performing a function for all of the people of Westchester County, which is an important function. And there's nowhere else for this to happen. This is a regional government, and we're providing the opportunity for local governments to save a lot of money and for ratepayers to save a lot of money. And it sounds to me like Con Edison doesn't really care about Westchester County. Big surprise. And so there is a need for your function. And is there anybody else in the county who can do this?
Not that I'm aware of. The problem is that our budget is not sufficient to perform that function without assistance from your body and the county executive through the miscellaneous budget.
Okay. Well, I would hope that you would, this is just my own expression, but I would hope that you would yourselves come back with a plan and make some serious proposals as to how to continue. I don't know, I can't speak for the rest of the committee, but that's the chairman's view, that you are performing a function that's important, and we want to hear from you. How would you propose to continue? Just because one person is now leaving doesn't mean we should forsake the function. And if there's some way we could take advantage of his expertise as well, I personally would like to hear your proposal on that. I think you're the ones who have been doing the great job. I mean, I don't want to see you go away in January. So, you know, help me here. Tell me what you think we should do. I don't know if you're prepared to make those kind of comments today or.
Yeah. Or could we ask that you prepare a couple of page document to give us a strategy?
Well, I think Stu, can you prepare such a document?
Yeah.
But Tommy,
the very simple issue is, where is the administration coming?
Well, not necessarily.
Because, as you know, I didn't voluntarily retire. I was told my job was going to end in November, having to do with the administration's determination. I was not told whether they had an individual that they would like to see take my place, or whether they were just change the function or whatever. But I was told my position was going to end. So that's the reason I took the retirement. So as far as this goes, I think for me to be writing a paper up of what to be done, besides
I don't think we're suggesting that. I'm looking at the chairman of the commission and the board members from the commission. Where they get their information and who does the backup work is up to them. So I don't think this committee is looking to you. We're looking to a commission that has a function and performs a service and has done a very good job at this. And where the report gets written is not our concern, right? I'm looking for a report from them.
Stu, can I address that? And to your point and this whole point. Number one, you are laid out in the law as an independent body with functions and responsibilities. We as a committee and a legislature are very supportive of the work that you've done and that you do, and the tax benefit and the savings that you brought to the taxpayers of Westchester. We're very supportive of that. And as Stu said and alluded to, we were all very sort of surprised and concerned when Stu was told he was about to retire. We are concerned about the future of your organization, and I think it's safe to say we would like to support you in that. Hopefully we can do that in cooperation and conjunction with the administration, but we are a co-equal branch of government as well. But since you are the independent organization, we need a plan from you to say this is what we will do in the future and this is how we will get there. And then we as a legislature, either working with the administration or in the worst case scenario independently, perhaps we can help you with that. That's our job as a legislature. Again, hopefully we can do this in cooperation and conjunction with the administration, but since you're the independent entity charged under the law with doing certain things, we need to know how you foresee navigating into the future.
Let me just note that we've been joined by a fifth member of the board, Naomi Mattisau.
Yeah.
So you have a critical mass here today, and I think that it's clear that there are at least some members of the Board of Legislators who want to see you go forward. We're not going to put everybody on the spot today. We haven't had a chance to discuss this. There's not going to be a vote or anything like that. But I don't hear any dissenting opinions at the moment. What I think, if I could suggest, to follow up on what Mr. Harkin was saying, is we would like to hear back from you a plan. Where do we go from here? Let this committee have something to discuss. I mean, we've got 3, 6, 7 members of the board of this committee here. We'd like to hear what you propose. This is a difficult time economically, but it's also a very difficult time for everyone out there with respect to utility rates and all of the other things we've discussed. So we're not going to prejudge anything, but I think we would like to hear from you guys as the experts to come back to us and say, given the times and the circumstances, this is where we think we should go forward. And come back to us, Mr. Nona.
Well, I think the question is, what happens if you go away? I mean, it seems like you're performing an important service on multiple levels. And what replaces you? What happens if they're not here?
On a certain level, and we have to go back and talk, but on a certain level, the answer isn't that complicated. In other words, this board does not provide the day-to-day expertise that has led to many of the benefits. It has been provided by the executive director and the consultants we have hired. So the executive director has been Stu, and he is available until he is unavailable to continue in a consultant's capacity with CalPUSA. The county, if CalPUSA were to go away. The consultants that we have used are available to be hired. What CalPUSA doesn't have is the budget to do all that hiring. The county does. So on a certain level, as long as Stu is available, the function can go on with him and the other consultants.
But he's limited in how much he can work.
He is limited.
So you do need more resources.
We may. Once again, assuming that the county were to be on board and want to hire a executive director who could devote more time than Stu can, then such a person could be hired. I will tell you it is a very difficult process. When Ed Gibbs passed away and we replaced Ed Gibbs, we went out for an RFP and we got a certain number of responses for an RFP for a new executive director. There were 3 candidates that were deemed to be acceptable. We offered the top candidate the post. He said he wasn't interested. We offered the second candidate the post. He said he wanted the job. And 3 days later, called us back and said, no, he didn't want the job. And the third candidate had already taken a different job.
And before Stu, you were executive director, there was no executive. Oh, there was an executive.
Ed Gibbs.
Ed Gibbs.
You were just the resource in the county law department.
Allow me to ask a simple question here. Those guys were not executive directors. They were consultants, correct?
No. Ed Gibbs was an executive director.
Found through an RFP?
Ed Gibbs was executive director for many years.
Okay, and following him?
When he passed away, we went out for an RFP.
Why would you go for an RFP to hire an employee?
Because you need somebody with a very specific skill set.
The original plan was I was going to stay in the law department, continue to do construction contracts,
and we were looking for a, quote, energy czar who would be the executive director and other functions. And that RFP.
I think we've got to move on, but I think the point is that this committee, from the people that have spoken so far, is concerned that if your function were to disappear, that the people in this county would have a problem.
I think that's a legitimate concern.
And so I think we're looking to you for guidance for a plan going forward. And we'd like to hear from you your recommendations. And I guess as soon as possible, because we don't have a lot of time. And I would hope that since this government has two branches to it that function as an executive and legislative, equal branches of government, that you would also be having conversations with the county executive's office, and that we can you can give them the benefit of the comments that we've heard today, and that you then come back with your own proposal. You were legally set up as a separate entity under the charter of the.
Well, we're not exactly a separate entity.
Let's not get into that. But there is law. The New York State laws set up that give every municipality the power to set up an entity like yours, and the people of this county, as I understand it, voted in a referendum quite some time ago to set up your entity. So you are there. You have done your function very well. So we would like to continue having that function performed. So we'd like the benefit of your collective wisdom on how we go forward. And if your proposal is not acceptable to the county executive, well, that gives us a basis for negotiations and discussions. But I would suggest that you come back with a proposal of what you think is best. And don't worry about how it's going to be received by the Board of Legislators or the county executive. Come back and tell us what you think should be done. And that's a basis for then negotiations. You may be surprised. Maybe the county executive will like your proposal. And maybe we'll all be on the same page. Maybe we won't like your proposal. But all I'm suggesting to you is, please go back. We need something to start with. We need the benefit of your wisdom. You've all done very well. And while Stuart is still around, you can consult with him. And please come back to us as soon as possible with a proposal. And then both the county executive and the Board of Legislators can look at your proposal and see where we go from here.
Stu, how much is available in the budget?
Well,
is that free?
Can I ask that you guys have this meeting alone?
Yeah.
I think, because unfortunately we're 10 minutes late on the next meeting that's coming in. Does any other legislator have a comment? Or?
I just have a quick question. And I know you mentioned I would really like to see a list of the 102 municipalities. Question. If there's a municipality who's not on that list, and if they wanted to go to NYPA directly and negotiate a price, are they not able to? Very much the same way?
If they're within the Con Ed service territory,
okay,
they'd be able to work something out.
They could go around you if they wanted to. Let me explain.
Every one of the contracts is a direct contract between NYPA and the municipality. We do not get involved in that. But what NYPA said is they can't... They're not going to negotiate 104 contracts. So they negotiate with us and use that framework for what they do for the rest of everybody.
Plus, each municipality would have to hire somebody like you to do the negotiations so that they can understand this complicated thing.
It's a shared service.
By the time you're up to the fifth one, if they got something that the first one now saw, they'll ask for the favored nation. So you'd never get anything accomplished.
And you do electricity only, not natural gas.
Natural gas... CalPUSA doesn't do, but I work with the appropriate people in the Board of... For the gas, natural gas delivery rates, we are in the Public Service Commission rate case. We are active in those. We participate. But as it relates to the purchase of natural gas, we are an advisor to the resource to the Bureau of Purchase and Supply for the county's own use.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks so much.
We've managed to keep this to an hour, so thank you all. Is there any other business before the committee?
You have minutes. You need...
So moved.
You need five, so...
I thought we need four for voting.
One, two, three, four.
You need five. He's next door. The
way it was
originally
set
up. Oh, okay. Can we ask... It was a smaller group.
Can we do minutes next time?
I can do it next time.
All right, we'll do minutes the next meeting.
Okay.
That's okay with everybody?
I'm sorry Marty missed this. This was his bag.
Well,
his
we're gonna, it looks like we're going to have another
round. Yeah, we'll have him back. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
All right, thank you.